This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading this morning from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And Jesus is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of our Lord, and you may be seated. We use the lectionary readings every Sunday, and it's commonly thought that the lectionary readings complement one another. The 1 John 4 passage talks about how it's the love of God that shows whether or not we're real believers in Christ. If we don't love the people in our own church or in our own homes, those we can see, how are we able to love someone we haven't seen? It's a good question, but John explains it fairly well. If we have Christ living in our hearts, and if we learn to abide in Christ, which means learning to walk with him on a daily basis, situation by situation, we will have no fear and we'll have the security of eternal life. Those are two benefits. But not only that, we'll have the love of Jesus slowly building up in our hearts, proving we have life in Christ. And it's kind of a step-by-step process. You walk with the Lord, you pray, you read your Bible, you talk to him, you get used to being in his presence, and then you develop this relationship with him. And the more that relationship continues to build inside of each one of us, the more the love of Christ will be there. And then the more we will be able to show that Jesus is real and not a figment of our imagination. But maybe the biggest example of how all of this ties together is our Acts passage. It's Acts 8, 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. Now, what we can see from this is that Philip heard a heavenly voice give him a direct command and a clear set of instructions. The angel said, "Get up and go to the road to Gaza." Luke, the proselyte convert to Christ and physician, makes sure we know that this is a desert road. So Philip goes and does just what he's instructed to do, and he goes out, basically out into the middle of nowhere. And he obeys that voice. Why? Because Philip has learned to abide in Christ and have that level of trust that comes with abiding in Christ. So he knew that there was a reason he was instructed to do that. So what did he do? He did it. So now we have that faith and confidence to follow those instructions if we've learned to abide in Christ. Have we all come to that place where we're willing to do something that Jesus asked us to do that from our own point of view makes absolutely no sense whatsoever? And that's a big question, and it's a challenging one as well. Now, those who have gotten close enough to the Lord are more willing to do that than others. He had learned to trust God. And how did he gain that? Well, we've just said, he learned to abide in Christ. This is Philip the Evangelist, one of the deacons appointed in Acts chapter 6. And in that short period of time between chapter 6 and chapter 8, his relationship with Christ has apparently grown to the point where he's willing, without question, to go out there and go out into the middle of nowhere. So, What did our hero find when he went out in the middle of nowhere? The next verse tells us, starting with verse 27. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, this guy was an interesting fella. The text tells us that he was Ethiopian, and that means he was from the area that we still know today as Ethiopia. He was also a eunuch, and furthermore, he was in charge of the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians, Candace, which means on an equivalent rank, he was like the Secretary of the Treasury, the Treasurer of the United States, and the Chairman of the Federal Reserve Board all rolled into one. This guy had charge of all the cash that was in that kingdom. And for the record, the chariot that he was riding in wasn't like one of the ones we commonly think of, you know, where you stand up and it's open-ended in the back. These were more like smaller covered wagons where he could actually sit down, and he no doubt had a driver, which is how he could command the driver to stop. So, again, we have Philip, and the Holy Spirit told him to go up to the chariot. Philip hears the guy reading, and he has the holy boldness to ask bluntly, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Now, how many of us would have the courage to ask a complete stranger if they understood what they were reading, much less if we recognized that it was a scripture passage? Would you go up to a perfect stranger you'd never met before, someone you'd never seen before in your life, and this person is reading the Bible, and say, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Be honest. Probably not. But Philip had the guts to do that. Why? Because he'd learned to abide in Christ. He had that holy boldness and that courage that comes with that. Now, and as we all know, the two subjects we are told to steadfastly avoid discussing in public are religion and politics. There's a good reason for that, which makes this all the more remarkable that Philip had the courage to do that, to walk up to this chariot, this wagon, of this high-ranking official from another country and say, "Do you know what you're reading? Do you understand that?" Now, what does the Ethiopian say in response? "How can I unless someone guides me?" Now, there's another dimension to this guy's character. First, we know that he's probably Jewish. He's from Ethiopia. He was in Jerusalem worshiping. He was also hungry for more, because he'd just been to one of those major festivals, but on his way home, he's in his chariot reading scripture. And in response to Philip's question, he says, and he admits that he needs more. He admits that he's hungry for more. He admits that he's willing to ask for help, because he says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" This tells us that this man really wanted to know. And this is an example for us about how we need in each one of our own lives to continue to hunger for a deeper relationship with the Lord and to want to know more. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to know more, and there's also nothing wrong with admitting that there's a passage we don't understand and asking someone to help us unravel it. It's perfectly fine. As a matter of fact, that's a sign of maturity. That's a sign that you're secure in your relationship when you're willing to actually ask for help to understand a scripture passage. You're admitting you can't do it by yourself and that you need someone to help you. And that's what this Ethiopian is like. He knew he needed to know more, and he was willing to ask. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, it's critical here that we take note the passage the Spirit had compelled him to read, which is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he's reading the place where it said, "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation, for his life is taken away from the earth?" Now, we know that this man was reading scripture, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and it was, for the record, it's Isaiah chapter 53. And he wanted to know, who is this passage about? Is it about the prophet who's writing it, or is it about someone else? So we know that the man's faith had not yet instructed him on any passages in the Old Testament canon that relate to the Messiah. Yeshua, the Messiah and Savior, who would give his life for the world, is the person Isaiah was prophesying in that passage. And then Philip, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, gives the man the gospel. The passage says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus." We also see this man's spiritual hunger fulfilled because they came to something. It says they came to some water. It doesn't say that it was a bowl, or if it was a lake, or if it was a pond, or a river, or a creek, or even a stock watering tank, or whatever it was. He said, "There's some water. What can stop me from being baptized?" So he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized the man. Now the Holy Spirit was clearly in charge here. He sends Philip on a mission in the desert. The man Philip meets is hungry to know the truth. Philip is able to fully explain the gospel to the man. The result was that the man came up out of the water rejoicing. And what's awesome about this is that even today, Christians in Ethiopia say that the faith got started in their country by this Ethiopian official who had had the encounter with Philip. To this day, 2,000 years later, they say Christianity started because of this man. That's profound. And so what we can also learn from this is nobody in here should discount your own relationship with Christ, or say that you don't really know Jesus, or say that you're not having any effect, because this one man is responsible or was the catalyst for a beginning abiding Christian community in Ethiopia that abides and lives there still even today. So don't let anybody say, "I can't be used of God." I'm absolutely certain that this man who was riding down the desert road in his chariot that day believed or understood or even could even imagine that he would be the springboard to bring the gospel to Africa. But he was. And Philip, because of his obedience, was the one who was the messenger to make that happen. So let's not forget that this passage has a profound result because Philip had learned how to abide in Jesus. His close relationship brought him closer to Christ and put him in tune with the Holy Spirit. Philip had learned to be connected to the vine. He had learned to be pruned, so that what remained in him was a willing and obedient heart of servanthood. And this was the wonderful result of one guy being connected to the vine and learning to listen when the Lord said, "Go." And we can all do that just like him. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.